long hard days. They don't say God's changed my ways, changed my ways, those evil ways. So I set out, cross that way, strike them down to make them pay, change their ways, their evil ways. But I can't evil
way. Welcome back. Top of the third hour. That is it's a fitting excerpt, I think, for today's broadcast. Ralph Waldo Emerson. That was actually from his Self-Reliance and Other Essays. Whoso would be a man must be a nonconformist. He who would gather immortal palms must not be hindered by the name of goodness, but must explore it if it be goodness. Nothing is at last sacred but the integrity of your own mind. Absolve you to yourself, and you shall have the suffrage of the world. Not in Gnostic, you know, sort of fashion, but when you, I mean, there is, I guess there are two sides of that point, and I would fall on the side of the Christian aspect of it, if you will. In other words, to what extent it is sanctioned under God's purview. Because obviously if you become too self-indulgent, that becomes a means unto itself or an end unto itself. And that's not healthy or good either. You just fall into the fold of the same old school bad guy nonsense that I was talking about, you know, I guess from the outset of today's broadcast, the George Bernard Shaw's, you know, the masters of the world kind of thing. Anyway, exploring these sound bites and the propaganda and so forth. And like I said, maybe we'll get into some of the other excerpts, Noam Chomsky on Americanism, Howard Zinn on patriotism. These are some of the ones that come to my mind immediately. Noam Chomsky discussing the slogan, support our troops. Remember that? And he was, the whole point was, you know, you have to have this propaganda, it unifies people, it demonizes, vilifies, dehumanizes certain groups of people, whomever you want. And, you know, like you put it, the masters and the rest of the population ought to be deprived of any form of organization, because organization just causes trouble and they're too stupid to know what to think anyway, in spite of the propaganda. So maybe we'll get to some of those excerpts, but sounds like we still have John. You are you in a better spot for reception?
Pretty good service. Yeah, I've got pretty good service now. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, Emerson, to me, the way I look at that, and I agree with you. In fact, while you were talking about the two different aspects, it seems to me that Emerson was trying to do it with his own, although secular or humanistic point of view, he was trying to do it and do it uprightly, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
With his mind and knowing that virtue was important, and he was basically going along his own drummer, but doing it in a way that was idealistic. And it's amazing to me, Chris, because the Bible says that you're changed by the renewing of your mind. And when you, when you have virtue and you have morality, and that's not to say that, trust me, I'm not perfect, But I try to live my life as much like Christ as I can. I want to treat people like I want to be treated. I don't want to do anything on the back of anyone to benefit myself knowingly. And I think that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, it's a Romans chapter 2 discussion. You know, Romans 2, and Paul writing in 14 and verses 14 and 15, for the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law. These not having the law are a law unto themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. So it's that kind of thing, right? To sort of sum it up.
Right, but then you've got people that it's like when you come to this idea, just do what's right for right's sake. If nothing else, if just do what's right, and they say, uh-oh. You know, I can picture them going, uh-oh, we got to do something about this because right. They're throwing a wrench in the works. So
right. The Stoics creed, do right for right's sake.
Well, when I see these things going on, and when I hear this, and then I go to a church, you know, to a building with a 501c3 pastor and a congregation that are basically milk-sucking babies, and I'm not saying that to be mean. They're not reading the book. They're not letting God be true and every man a liar, including your pastor or your preacher or your priest, if it's going against what the book says. You know, be a Berean. Look and see if these things be true, because that's called being noble. You're more noble when you're looking to see what is truth. And truth is not so, because I say it doesn't make it true. Because pick a preacher, you know, what's his name? Guy with the 10,000 member church down in Texas that wouldn't let anyone in after the hurricane. Well, that sounds to me like something Jesus Christ would have done, you know?
He's teaching everyone how to live their best life now, though. So,
yeah,
you know.
and be in shape and have nice teeth and wavy hair, you know, and buy my book while you're at it, because you got to get my book, you know? I mean, I guess where I'm going with this is that it's just so much easier, so much, you can go to sleep at night. But we've got people in the churches that are saying, well, you got to obey the government because God put them in place, the powers that be, you got to obey them. When, if that were the case, Chris, and if history is what we were taught that it was, and I'm not absolutely certain about the American Revolution at this point, if that was the case, then don't you think these noble people would have said, well, you got to obey the king because God put him in his place. So we got to pay these unmerited taxes. We've got to just suck it up, people. Live. You belong to the king. Just suck it up. And liberty, although as limited as it is, would have never come. The revolution would have never happened. What you think you own that you really don't own, you wouldn't have that much if it wasn't for someone saying, look, enough is enough. King or no king. We have a right to our own life.
Yeah.
I don't know how to put it any other way. It's like this pig that has been painted to look like Sophia Loren. You know, you put the lipstick on and you put a wig on the pig and you say, isn't it pretty? I mean, it's still a pig.
I hear
a
guy named
Dave. A pig.
Yeah, I hear a guy named Dave Severn that most people have probably never heard of, and his pigs don't know pigs stick speech. I think that was back from the 80s or 90s. But yeah, pigs don't know pigs stink. And Lysander Spooner, no treason. This is why I keep going back to that. And, you know, it's like echoing Spooner, no treason, number 6 in particular, the Constitution of no authority. Anyway.
Well, and even if, and I sound so cynical to myself, Chris, when I really consider, and I kind of sit back and think, was it all a lie to begin with? The Constitution, the complete power that Congress was given, was it all an illusion to make people think they were free? You know, and the only freedom that we can have is in Christ. We are subjects. We are, you talk about the road to serfdom a lot, and I've got the book, and I'm reading the book. we're already there. We have been there. Right. When you pay for a house, but they can take it because you're not paying the property tax, you must not own the property. That must mean you're a tenant. That must mean that the master owns the land. You're paying 30% of your wages and income and calling it income tax when income is profit on capital investment. Wages is an equal transaction for your life for their money. And then you got two lines on the tax form, total wages, total income, total wages and income. Here's your tax. They're taxing your existence, literally taking 30% of your life that you will never get back.
Right.
And people are okay with it. And then when you ask a tax, quote, professional, they say, well, it's income. Well, how is it income? Because if you don't, we'll send you to jail. I mean, it's just, you want to fish, you want to hunt. God made the fish, God made the deer and the rabbits for you to eat. You want to fish or hunt, and if you do it without paying your fee, they'll take your weapons. They'll take your, you know, they'll take whatever you have, unless you give them their $28 or their $126 where you can hunt and fish all you want. Then illegal becomes legal, and you can do it as long as it's in season. Don't be taking the company deer from the company storehouse. Don't be killing that rabbit. Don't kill that rattlesnake. Don't kill that copperhead. That's a protected species.
Yeah, we'll and
bite your grandchildren.
It's all perfectly fine as long as, you know, and it's not about the fee. It's about control. Again, I mean, folks pointed that out. The IRS, you know, it is just about sort of instilling that control in people, in their minds, and it's very effective. You know, out west, we have examples of things where you can do certain things, but they still, the municipal code says that you have to apply for a permit. It doesn't cost you anything. The permit's free, but you still have to tell us you're doing it, which again reminds me of the Philistines telling the Israelites that they needed to
register.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
We'll sharpen your knives. You don't have to tell it. You know, just bring them anyway. The other thing I
we'll
was
do it for free.
The other thing is, you know, you have a right to life, liberty, and property. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, food, clothing, and lodging. Okay, but if you have the ability to build your own home, well, you can build your own home. Won't you know? You'll pay for materials, but make sure that you get the building permit. And in the little town I'm in, the build is a $10,000 permit. Well, then you got to have your framing inspected and your plumbing inspected and your electrical inspected. And how far are you off the road? You got to have your offset off the main thoroughfare because they own the right of way. I mean, it's just some crazy stuff. You can't even pitch a tent or bring an RV hardly into your property and live in the RV.
Right. And
you know,
so
are you on sewer? Are you on septic? Can you make your own septic if the land doesn't work? No, sir.
Yeah.
I mean, it is about control. They own you.
Absolutely. And
I think they do. They don't own me.
Exactly. And, you know, again, this gets into the early pages of Hayek's Road to Serfdom. And, you know, you go from there to the sort of apex of the system of control and listen to when we play that clip from George Bernard Shaw every once in a while, you know, people should be brought before the council every once in a while to justify their existence. If you don't produce as much or more than you consume, sir or madam, then maybe we should euthanize you. And so Shaw wrote in his Intelligent Woman's Guide to Socialism. Again, socialism and democracy are the sort of underpinnings of this discussion. But Shaw wrote, George Bernard Shaw, in his Intelligent Woman's Guide to Socialism, what life would be like. This is something that, you know, I've mentioned John Stormer's None Dare Call It Treason and my thoughts on that, speaking of, you know, two sides. But Stormer included this excerpt in None Dare Call It Treason, The Origin of Communism, opening chapter, but so George Bernard Shaw wrote in his Intelligent Woman's Guide to Socialism, explained what life would be like once the New World Order was established, is the way that John Stormer put it. And this is what these guys envisioned, the Fabian Socialist. I also made it clear that socialism means equality of income or nothing, and that under socialism, you would not be allowed to be poor. That sounds tyrannical and authoritarian, doesn't it? You would be forcibly fed, clothed, lodged, taught, and employed, whether you liked it or not. If it were discovered that you had not the character or industry enough to be worth all this trouble, you might possibly be executed in a kindly manner. But whilst you were permitted to live, you would have to live well. That's George Bernard Shaw.
And you know what they call that now? They call that welfare, Chris, which is why you go back to Sanger and you go back to, you know, her thing about the most loving thing you can do for your child is not to allow it to be born.
To murder it. Yeah, right.
And the very ones that are holding her up as a great woman, Hillary Clinton is saying she was a mentor, and the very ones that are holding and loving Hillary Clinton are the ones that Margaret Sanger was targeting, and rather than murdering the new extermination, the new euthanization, or if that's a word, is called abortion. You know, where and they're being forced to live well. Many people, black, white, or any other skin tone, are living much better than me when it comes to, I'm working, when you were talking about a 15-hour day, I work a lot of 15-hour days. Now, they're living much better than me in relation to the effort they're putting out. They've got not that I want one, 10-foot TV hanging on the wall. They're driving an Escalade. They're, you know, cell phones, and got a little magic card that they can buy a Monster Energy drink and a Snickers bar while their child is hungry. They're living well, whether they want to or not. And they're very few of them, boy, is that not a screwed up statement, actually have a desire to go to work for very long, you know, and they're being euthanized. Their posterity, their children, are being destroyed. And they're okay with it because I don't want that baby. So there's no accountability. And we have people that are intelligent that are saying, well, some people just don't need to be around. And they're calling themselves Christian, conservative, Republican, whatever good name tag you think you want to put on it. They're okay with it.
Yeah. I think,
and I know,
you know,
I've
again,
rambled a lot.
Yeah, I think that gets back to the propaganda real quick and the ways that people have been beguiled, essentially. It's, you know, it's difficult. I mean, Jesus said it best, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. People being conned to believe certain things and having no idea that think tanks like the Rand Corporation have cooked up schemes to essentially tie up every loose end in any discussion to have people navigate a maze like a rat looking for cheese and directing people to a predetermined outcome in virtually every circumstance without them knowing that they're being steered. So.
Well, is it not amazing? I'll let you go. I hear the music. I'll make room. Thank you, Chris.
Appreciate it, John. Thanks. Stick around, folks. We'll go back to the phones when we come back. Be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue, and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed, and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
When you were here before, I couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a
Now, there's one thing you might have noticed I don't complain about. Politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah.
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. And term limits ain't going to do you any good. You're just going to wind up with there a brand new go. Bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans.
That's, as George Carlin did, he puts it about as well as it can be put. That's pretty fantastic. And, you know, we can get that far. There's obviously more, but, and that is, there's more, you know, he's talking about why I don't vote. And so I put that together basically with Lysander Spooner's No Treason, number 6, in particular, the Constitution of No Authority. You had John Stuart Mill at the turn of the 19th century. And by the end of the 19th century, when John Stuart Mill is giving us On Liberty, you have Spooner as a juxtapose giving us No Treason. And number 6 in particular, the Constitution of No Authority. And so in point number 7, Spooner wrote, "It is plain then that on general principles of law and reason, such principles as well as we all act upon in courts of justice and in common life, the Constitution is no contract. That is, that it binds nobody and never did bind anybody. And that all those who pretend to act by its authority are really acting without any legitimate authority at all." And he goes on and he says, you know, "If the people of this country wish to maintain such a government as the Constitution describes, there is no reason in the world why they should not sign the instrument themselves or sign the instrument itself and thus make known their wishes in an open, authentic manner. In such manner as the common sense and experience of mankind have shown to be reasonable and necessary in such cases, and in such manner as to make themselves, as they ought to do, individually responsible for the acts of government. But the people have never been asked to sign it. And the only reason why they have never been asked to sign it has been that it has been known that they never would sign it. That they were neither such fools nor knaves as they must indeed, that they must needs have been to be willing to sign it." And that sort of reminds me again of James Otis and what John Adams said about him. And all of this is stuff that I've discussed in recent months, but hopefully that makes sense. Back to the phones. William in Montana, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, William.
Been a while.
It has.
And, you know, I must admit, I was very happy to see 2018 go its way. You know, it's been very hard to keep up, and I try very hard to keep up on what is actually happening. I try to also stay abreast of what's happening in Russia, and it really is a stark contrast to what we are told is happening there, and it's very. I hear the music.
Yeah, my apologies. That's my fault. Stick around, folks. We'll continue this when we come back. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Bottom of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, January 2nd, 2019. On phones, William in Montana. It has been a long time. And you said, paraphrasing, you for one were happy to see 2018 pass. These are my words, obviously, paraphrasing what you said. And you find it difficult to keep up. And what's happening in Russia is really a stark contrast to what we hear in the media. Is that about right?
Yes. And when I say that I keep up on what's happening in Russia, I'm not talking about governments. you know, even though I have a lot of respect for what the Russian government has accomplished since the collapse of the Soviet Union, but I listen to the people, and I try to find those articles that really talk about what's really happening in the streets, in the countryside, not just in Moscow and the larger cities. And there, the people see a material improvement, greatly, material improvement, and that's what they concentrate on. That's where their allegiance comes from, because when the fall of the Soviet Union, many of the seniors were very terrified that the safety net would disappear, and it did. Because of the dire economic conditions that ensued, and many of these conditions ensued because a group of crooks basically came in and bought up, or actually were given all of these Soviet resources, all of these industries, all of these different types of state sponsored corporations and stuff, and people were literally starving in the streets of Moscow, and if you no matter what you feel about Vladimir Putin and what he has done, if you actually look at it from the man in the street, when he took over, I think the federal the state pensions were like $23 a month, now they're more like $600. And what's really interesting, when you were talking about the Fed deciding to not waste money collecting data for information that really doesn't say anything.
Well, it was the M3, and they were saying it was irrelevant, but it was
irrelevant because what it did is it showed how bad things were.
Exactly, and how bad they were making things, essentially. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And so, what you want to do is you want to eliminate any documentation that you're spending, 40% more than you're making. If we did that, if we spent 140% of what our income was, you would know what's going to happen to us. That can't be sustained. And so what they do is take away the data and say there's no need to make people nervous about how dire our economic condition is.
All is well. All is well.
And what's interesting is if the Fed's printing presses, running overtime, if that's all it was, it would be bad enough. But when you start looking into the gory details, and it'll drive you crazy if you try, the corporations have taken, basically interest-free loans and have created all of these creative financial instruments, which if you even try to, find out the definitions of them, it becomes so, complicated and so misinformed. I mean, it's, as an example, a CDO, a collateralized debt obligation. And you say, well, what is that? Well, it's a wealth creation system that the corporations have come up with, which is basically taking imaginary money and using it to make more imaginary money, and then using that imaginary money to buy real assets.
Right. It's a sort of through the looking glass down the rabbit hole experience, because when you look at a collateralized debt obligation, you go, well, wait a second, wasn't it already collateralized? How can you collateralize debt? It's already, you're absolutely right. And you start having these extensions of how do you do that? I mean, so basically for those who don't know, a CDO is sort of like, if I have a credit card that I make a credit card payment on every month, well, maybe I'll collateralize that credit card payment. Well, how can you do that? It's obligated to pay a debt you owe. You can't do that. You know, but that's what these things, that's what these instruments that you're talking about represent for those who haven't gone
down
that rabbit
hole. And if you have the patience to find out, like, well, where did they come up with this?
Right.
Well, it was a ABS, and an ABS is basically an asset-backed security.
Yep.
And those were created to refinance an MBS, which is
right.
a mortgage-backed security, and
right.
and it basically was a way of saying, you know, when things are falling apart, what you can do is you can collateralize this debt, and you can start selling it. You know,
right.
you basically, and if you continue to follow it, and it will drive you crazy. But what they do, there's actually something called a CDO. Your CDO
yep.
squared,
right?
You know, and this is like when the whole thing is falling apart, you square it. You basically,
right.
you know, jump it up, and then they slice. It's, you know, a CDO is sliced into tranches, and
right.
and so it's basically says if the very unforeseen thing happens where some of these debts, these now called assets do not pay enough money to pay off all the investors, then only those that have senior tranches get paid, and those that have inferior tranches don't get paid. And as my grandmother used to say, you know, those people are COL.
She
said, certainly out of luck.
Right.
You know, And if you look at this, it's all imaginary, and it is even worse than the printing presses of the Fed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because
and
what they
so,
do is they borrow money, and they buy back their own stocks. And
yep.
so people watching the stock market say, wow, somebody is offering more money for that stock, so it must they must know something I don't. But it's actually the companies using imaginary money to buy back their stock to jack it up. So
right.
even if you look at the details of everything, it's so much worse than it appears.
It is, absolutely. And you have the derivatives, you have the credit default swaps, you have the, you know, and like you're saying, you look at this and you go, wait a second. I mean, all of what we're talking about is so bizarre, so deranged from reality. You go, like you said, you know, what? I'm no international economist. What do I not know here? And so they along the way they said, well, you know, I guess in layman's terms, yes, this, you know, clearly this doesn't make any sense. So we have these rating agencies with great reputations. Let's basically drag those into the mix too, and we'll run all of this funny paper through the ratings agencies. And if the you know, if Moody's or S&P says it's great, it must be right. It must be fantastic. And obviously
and they,
we know
and
that.
They, in a sense, they are a part of this Ponzi scheme.
Absolutely.
They basically
why would you need a rating agency for something that's good, right? You don't
and
need...
And why would you expose the people who are paying you fees to tell everyone how good they are?
Right.
I mean, it's... You know, this
rhetorically,
whole thing,
you
rating
ask.
Thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I look at this, I start thinking about Jefferson, you know, because Jefferson says, you know, God forbid that we should ever be 20 years without such a revolution.
Yep.
And what he meant by that, there's a lot of controversy about what he meant and blah, blah, blah. But basically it says that when conditions get so bad that you can't even feed yourself without going into debt, you know, you need patriots need to tell the tyrants that this is not, this can't go on. And, you know, people are saying, well, you know, eventually there's going to have to be some debt forgiveness, which is in a sense like trying to taper a Ponzi scheme. You know, like, oh my God, our Ponzi scheme is so outrageous and brutal. Why don't we back it back a little bit and let a little more drizzle out so that people aren't starving? Because, you know, history, you know, has a lot of examples that when people, I mean, people will put up with a lot of stuff, especially if they're being indoctrinated, you know, daily, that things aren't as bad as they are. And if you think they are, maybe you just haven't kept your nose to the grindstone.
You aren't patriotic enough if you think, you know.
Yeah, you're not patriotic enough. We all have to tighten our belts during times of scarcity. You know, but if you look at the, you know, if you look at history, guess what happens when it gets that extreme? You know, there is both blood of patriots and tyrants, and people who were rich before do not necessarily stay rich after. And I see this, you know, 2019, I mean, we're always saying that, boy, it's coming down the pike, you better be ready. But when I look at the numbers, I can't see this huge Ponzi scheme, this huge bubble lasting much longer.
The writing's been on the wall for a long time. I mean, there are more, you know, YouTube videos and articles floating around that I've seen anyway than ever that say what the experts have been saying for a couple of years now, at least. You have the guys, I mean, I keep mentioning the guys over at Agora Financial in particular. I know that Kiyosaki's been saying for a couple of years, it's coming. Jim Rickards has been saying for 10 years. Addison Wiggin, the guy who gave us IOUSA. And these guys, you know, Wiggin in particular prides himself on the fact that, you know, they've called certain market conditions decades in advance. And so over at Agora Financial, they've been saying it's coming. It's you know, we're at that moment. And so, you know, I agree.
And that's why, you know, when I look at the and I follow the Russian press very, very carefully. And when I look at just things that just pop up that don't seem significant, but they blow my mind when I finally understand the significance. Like in Russia, the agricultural industry has just boomed. I mean, they are producing more grain. And when people think of Russia, they think of the big cities and oil and gas. And oil and gas is by far the biggest, you know, asset and export in Russia. But if you go out into the rural areas, and there's a lot of rural areas in Russia, you find that agriculture is booming, and there is no gypsophate, there is no Monsanto Roundup, and the grain is not GMO. And so here you have just hard work, millions of people involved, just like here in Montana. You know, if I go across the river, I just see miles and miles and miles and miles of honest people working hard to produce grains. Every year, I always love driving through those fields because it gives me hope.
Yeah, but William, you can't hypothecate imaginary fortunes and steal people blind when you're just, you know, I mean, what is it? Is it Balzac's axiom, I think, behind every great fortune there is a crime? Anyway.
Sure. But if you actually see that in Russia, and this I just noticed about three, I've read a very extensive report on their agricultural production, and one of the things it said, it now is the second biggest industry and export and money maker, and it's beyond, or it's greater than arms sales. And when I saw that, I thought, now why? That is significant. You know, if you look at what drives the American economy, yeah. I mean, it's the industrial, you know, military-industrial complex.
Without
and
question.
Even though we produce a lot of grain and wheat and all of this, I mean, the real money, the real emphasis in our culture is buying arms, selling
yep.
arms, keeping wars
yep.
going. And so even though, you know, you might say, well, there's a lot of complexity behind this, you can't say, you can't really compare it, I just find that very encouraging that many people who work hard for their living are actually receiving some benefit. And that,
right,
that's in contrast with what I see here. So yep. thank you, Chris. Good to talk to you again.
You too, William. Thank you. Be right back, folks.
Possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. Writing the injustices. The guy responsible for, speaking of what William was saying, were the words, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. Also wrote to James Madison in 1787, I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing. He also wrote, Speaking of what William mentioned, God forbid we should ever be 20 years without a rebellion. That was to William Smith, 1787. To Ezra Stiles, he wrote, "If the happiness of the mass," this was 1786, "happiness of the mass of the people can be secured at the expense of a little tempest now and then, or even a little blood, it will be a precious purchase." But he also wrote to Madison in 1787, "Educate and inform the whole mass of the people. Enable them to see that it is their interest to preserve peace and order, and they will preserve them." And I agree with William. It's difficult to argue, if even possible, to argue that the military-industrial complex, the DEFSEC complex, has gripped and seized America at large and the American economy. And when you start to investigate the kinds of things that William was talking about, you start to bump into the Panama Papers and anything that comes out about these laundering schemes that is substantive, that gets run through a mechanism like Neo4j, the graph database library, then, you know, results in somebody dying in a car bomb accident or something like that. So we need more of that stuff to come to light and people to understand what all of this means generally. Back to the phones in the interest of time. Brian in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Morning, Brian.
I think I would like to share a little story. Jenna is mopping the floor before a little gathering of some of the aristocrats over the holidays, and she overhears them saying, you know, those homeless, they're everywhere. They don't want to work. I'm thinking, well, Nixon and Kissinger took every job out of here, and there's nothing for anybody to do. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be the aristocrats that decide they're tired of the tyranny, and I don't think it's the starving desperate that, along with them, will create some sort of revolution against what we're up against. I think it is, like you just said, going to be an informed citizenry, and that's what our job is.
Well, what Noam Chomsky said, you know, the organization, I mean, what you're saying, you know, what happened in Detroit, and are people able to organize and have a substantive and fruitful discussion about this? And speaking of those guys, the Nixon administration, GHWB was around, Kissinger, you know, NSSM 200, and Brzezinski. And Brzezinski telling us it's now easier to kill a million people than control a million people. And I'd say it's easier now to propagandize the rest of the remaining herd to believe that either those million exterminated were somehow biologically inferior, or for some reason they had it coming to them.
Yep, the Hegelian dialectic is creating everybody pointing at others and saying there's the problem.
Yep.
We have got to figure out a way to outsmart this one, and I know what the weaponry that we would be going up against. I don't think it's going to be revolution. I think sharing, securing your interest in Brendan's last few, Tony Pantelaresco listens to stuff that Jenna sends him, and his most recent is saying Israel. Right there, I'm not anti-Semitic, but we need to look into this sacred cow, just like Nikki Rapana discovered. I can't have a discussion about what I see going on here without going to Israel.
Yeah. And again, you know, back to Pike's letter. Back to Pike's letter, August 15, 1871. The questions, folks, qui bono and quis custodiat ipso toto. Go to school, benefits, watch that'll today. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Handle the truth.